It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent. Welcome. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. Today, I want to talk about seven things that Generation Z, Gen Z, hates or are not really big fans of. Now, I don't want to just rip on younger generations. I mean, being a millennial growing up, we got ripped on a lot. Every generation gets ripped on by the generation above it, and each generation complains about every other generation. I don't want to do that. And I understand the hate that millennials, you know, get sometimes. Like, yeah, we overdid it with avocado toast and Harry Potter households. I understand that. But today I want to talk about Gen Z. So these are people who are born, I think I want to say like 1997, 1998 to around 2010, 2012. So they're not Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha would be people who were born like after social media. So let me put this in my head a little bit. For me to be a millennial is somebody who remembers 9/11. Like 9/11 was their big thing they remember. If you're Gen X, it was probably remembering the Challenger exploding. So these are separated by, you know, 15 years, things that you remember. So I'll meet people like, oh, I'm a millennial. It's like, no, when were you born? 1998? Okay, then you don't remember 9/11. You weren't in high school like I was then. You'd be Gen Z. Gen Alpha, and who knows what's going to happen with Gen Alpha. These are the iPad kids. Really scary there, born after 2010. Gen Z is interesting that they grew up really during the technological revolution. Like as a millennial, I remember going from basically no technology in the mid-90s, then to the late 2000s and early 2010s, high-speed internet, whiz-bang technology. We knew a life without it. Gen Z's never really known a life without it. For a lot of them, when the iPhone came out, they were 10 years old. Like they might have gotten iPhones. They probably had iPhones in high school. Or smartphones in high school. We did not have that. I had a Cricket phone. I had a big, bulky Cricket phone, and it was awesome. Played snakes on it. Failed my first quarter in Calc AB. Had to drop out. And I really wanted to go to calculus camp, too. So Gen Z, that's where they kind of place everything. And there's a lot of Gen Z that I really appreciate. I work with a lot of them. Them, like there's some other species. You know, I work with a lot of them. My editor is Gen Z. Social media manager is Gen Z. And they do a really good job, and they're really hip into what is going on right now. No cap. They really understand. Maybe they would tell me that's cringe, unless cringe is now a millennial term. So let's talk about seven things that Gen Z hates and makes it different from previous generations. Here's number one. Talking on the phone and voicemails. According to this article, research shows that 90% of Gen Z get anxious about talking on the phone. Making an awkward phone call tops their list of things they want to avoid, but for older people, talking on the phone is part of normal life. The generations that came before Gen Z are well-versed in how awkward talking on the phone can be, but there was literally no other way for them to get in touch with their friends. They had to make calls. They had to learn how to have a polite conversation with other kids' parents. Real-life interaction wasn't always fun or easy, but it was the normal thing to do, and that's absolutely right. I see this divide with my wife. So my wife is a baby millennial. She was born in the early 90s. I was born in the mid-80s. So she's a baby millennial. She has a little bit more in common with Gen Z in some ways, and one of those things is she loves texting. Like, I'll call her. I remember early in our relationship, I would call her, she wouldn't pick up the call, and then she would text me back, "What's up?" And I feel like that's a very Gen Z thing to just text rather than calling people. And I think for younger generations, text feels safer because you can methodically think out what you're going to say instead of just having to be on the spot in a conversation saying it. But that's not good because that's not how conversations work in real life. You got to be able to practice how to do that. So they don't like talking on the phone, don't like leaving voicemails. That doesn't mean they won't ever do it, but it seems like they're much more interested in using text or other kind of chat functions for that. Also it says here, they don't like to ring doorbells. Apparently go to a house, text, "I'm here." Don't want to go up. Don't want to ring the doorbell. Here's the next one. Cash. 79% of Gen Z reported using digital wallets on a regular basis, while only 26% of baby boomers use digital wallets. So they don't like paying for cash. They would rather use Apple Pay for everything. Digital Pay, Venmo, Zelle. I like a lot of these apps, by the way. I love Venmo. Because it's just so easy. You go out with people and you want to split something, you want to send money to somebody, do it at the click of a button versus writing a check or any other way to do it. It can just be so cumbersome. But I really enjoy using Venmo. But I also like having cash. There's something nice about having cash when I am out. It encourages me not to buy things unless I really, really want them. It really puts the gravity of the situation into play. So Dave Ramsey, you know, the boomer financial advice, which is kind of now a successor to Dave Ramsey. I think his name's like Caleb Hammer, I think is his name. He's kind of like the Gen Z Dave Ramsey. He has people come on his show and he just yells at them for all their bad financial decisions. So when it comes to that, Dave Ramsey used to say, you know, you go out to dinner and you put $100 into the, they send you the check and it's in that big black velvet, thing. And he would say, oh, that's Ben Franklin's coffin. When you put the $100 bill in there, you really feel it. When you put your debit card in there, your credit card, you don't. And that's how you end up in debt. So that is something to be concerned about with Gen Z, that they'll go out and they'll go out a bunch and get into debt. But maybe they won't because they don't really go out so much. I'm going to add this as 2.5 here because I just thought of it and it's not in my list. But going out, I was reading, there was a meme online. It showed a clip or showed it a freeze frame from the movie Clueless. And it said, did older generations really have parties like these or was it only in the movies? And it's so sad from a Gen Z person saying, do people have parties? And I say, yes. When I was in high school, when I was in college, because that would have been late 90s, early 2000s. If you wanted to hang out with people, if you wanted to interact with people, you had to get out of your house and go to somebody else's house and hang out. Now, it wasn't always a huge festival like in a movie or something, but you might have, you know, at the low-key end, five or six people just hanging out and talking and maybe playing video games or just chit-chatting. And you might have a lot of people that you have five or six people come over and then they invite their friends and suddenly it turns into a big, big to-do. And those were really fun. And you went and there was just excitement there, especially if it's you're in the phase where it's like you're dating, wondering who's there, who isn't there, who are you with, or you're talking about, or even just catching up with people or just doing something that's silly. Like, hey, let's go out and buy 2 liters and throw them off a parking garage so that when they hit the bottle cap, they'll fly up into the air like rockets. You know, or I remember, you know, going to one of these parties and someone saying, hey, I got this CD from this guy, Jason Mraz. He's homeless. Or maybe he was just recently homeless, but he was playing at Java Joe's in Ocean Beach, California. You got to hear this guy. And, you know, it's like stuff you wouldn't be able to find on the internet. It's like a friend of a friend gets it to you and you're in the know. And they were, it was, and you would stay up late talking. Those were fun things. But now people don't go out. They're just on the internet. That's where I can have all my social experience. And that's not real life. That's not a social experience. Though I feel bad for Gen Z because one reason they don't want to go to a party and be silly and dance and just have fun is everybody's there with a phone. Has a camera, a video camera, and upload it to the internet. And you're just terrified you go out, you're going to make a fool of yourself, and it's going to be all over the internet. That's a horrible way to live. It just makes me incredibly sad to see if you'll have to live that way. And so for Gen Z, I am sorry you have to live that way. It wasn't always like that for us, and I really hope one day when it comes to smartphones, we treat it like cigarettes and realize, wow, this is a horrible decision. What were we thinking? I don't know, but hopefully. Number three is they don't like hustle and workplace inflexibility. Gen Z cares a lot about work-life balance. They care a lot about how if I'm going to work for someone, I have to make sure like, hey, I cannot do this on the weekend. I cannot do this after hours. They're really more work-life balance where with millennials, and especially boomers, it's like, hey, when the boss says you got to do it, you got to do it. That's just how it is basically. Also, when it comes to that, something related to it is getting a driver's license. One of the things that they're for inflexibility, there's a lot of Gen Z who aren't, they are the generation that they're least interested in getting a driver's license per other generations their age. And this article says here, occasionally manifesting in anxiety to enter adulthood, Gen Z's disinterest in driving can largely be explained by accessibility. They're not only overwhelmed by fear-inducing stories about driving, but anxieties of the world at large. I mean, I don't know. Gen Z does seem a bit anxious. I think everybody, you know, gave them a bunch of medication when they were younger, and everybody has some kind of a disorder of some kind of anxiety disorder. No, you just have anxiety. Like, that's life. People get anxious about things, and that's okay. That's totally fine. But yeah, they would value more having flexibility than having the job with all the benefits if you have to work yourself to death. Because I think for many of them feel like, hey, I saw my parents work themselves to death, and they couldn't even really retire, and they had an awful experience. Why would I do that? And number four, sex scenes and age gaps. They do not like sex scenes in films. And on the one hand, I like that. That's great. It says here 44% of youth felt that romance in media is overused. Now, on the one hand, hey, I don't like sex scenes either. Unless it's, you know, tasteful. Like, you know, I think you got that shot in Braveheart, for example. I think, well, it's Mel Gibson there. And you get the Mel Gibson behind in the shot. But it can be tastefully done, but oftentimes it isn't. It's gratuitous. So normally I'm not a fan of that. But for Gen Z especially, they really don't want to see it. And so yeah, if it's pornographic, obviously no. But I mean, nudity itself isn't bad. I mean, there's nude images in the Sistine Chapel. But just to make the caveat here, while romantic scenes, even scenes between, like, say, a married couple, for example, can be done tastefully, I think oftentimes are pornographic. So I'll give you a good example. Top Gun Maverick, I mean, that's fornication there, unfortunately. But at least it's not done graphically. He's talking to the lady, and then they're in bed, and there's, like, a dissolve. And you can tell, oh, you can assume, oh, we know what they did. But it doesn't have to show it. And that's good. That's a good way to depict it. But otherwise, it's often pornographic. And I would say that's a negatory. And so I'm glad Gen Z is against that. Very uncomfortable with that. So a lot of newer movies do not have sex scenes really in them. There's some shows, though, that Gen Z watch that seem very gratuitous on that. Euphoria would probably be an example of that. So I've heard. But otherwise, not that many. So I think that's a good thing. When I watch old comedies from the 80s, especially like, you know, John Hughes films and old 80s comedies, oh my gosh, the nudity is just gratuitous. It's just running around naked just for no reason. And I just feel like the director's like, we got to have something in there for the fellas. I mean, it's bad. I love 80s comedies. You got to fast forward. I mean, it's like, can I get the non-gratuitous nudity versions of them, please? Can I get the version that I saw on TBS at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday when I was at home in high school? Can I get that version of the film? Because I remember these movies in the 80s. I watched them on cable TV when I was 17 years old. And now if I get the DVD or watch it streaming, like, oh, wow, I do not remember. I do not remember that being in the film that I saw, you know, watching it on cable 20 years ago. So yeah, I appreciate that. But at the same time, it almost seems like they don't like romantic stuff at all. So this article is saying 44% of youth felt that romance is overused. 39% would like to see more aromantic, asexual characters. So there it's almost like we don't want to see any love stories. Nobody's in a relationship. That's not good either. That's not good either. It's like, hey, I saw somebody saying you don't like homosexuality in film. Well, look at all in these cartoons, men and women kissing. Because that's natural. It's okay to show children that. That's something to aspire to, as long as it's done tastefully and age appropriately. So that's number four. Oh, and age gaps. Really don't like age gaps. I saw something online where they were doing a To Catch a Predator type thing, and I'm like, you don't know To Catch a Predator. I grew up with Chris Hansen. You don't know To Catch a Predator. Why don't you have a seat? It's the one where, like, the guy would be like, there's a woman, an adult, pretends to be a minor. Come over to my house. The creepo comes over to the house. Chris Hansen from Dateline is there. So why were you coming to meet a 13-year-old girl? I don't know. Then they get arrested. Very satisfying. And it's like, you know, these are like 40-year-old men coming to see 13-year-old girls. But this one sting I saw, there were these like vigilante college students going after a 22-year-old guy who was going to meet up with an 18-year-old girl. That's not pedophilia. far from it, my friend. That's completely okay. But they'll say like, oh, well, she's a teen still and he's in his 20s, so you can't really consent. Oh boy, that is really problematic, especially because my wife is fairly younger than I am. We started dating when she was, you know, when she was 19 and I was in my early to mid 20s, which is fine. So yeah, they take the age gap discourse to another level sometimes. Number five, sunscreen and vaping. A study by the American Academy of Dermatology found that only 37% of Gen Z uses sunscreen. It's funny, I've seen pictures of this, that millennials tend to age better than a lot of Gen Z influencers. And I think the reason for that is Gen Z is less likely to use sunscreen and more likely to vape. Like, as a millennial, we grew up with those anti-tobacco commercials in the late 90s. Like, there was a kid, he smokes a cigarette, then he throws up in the sink and it's all maggots. And we're like, oh, don't smoke cigarettes. They really went after us to not smoke cigarettes, and we didn't. And you didn't drink either. But then Gen Z is like, vaping is fine. It's totally okay. So they vape. And then they listen to these TikToks where people are like, it's not the sun that causes cancer. It's sunscreen. The sun is God's gift to us. How could it cause cancer? Because it's nuclear energy. It's nuclear energy coming to us. And if you expose your skin to it long enough, it will burn and you can have cellular damage there that can lead to cancer. So, but yeah, it's that's really interesting because I think that's one of the reasons when you look at old television shows, like watch Cheers. Watch the first few seasons of Cheers. Those actors are in their mid-30s. They look like they're 50 years old. It's unbelievable. And part of that is due to the fact I mean, you look at that, and then you look at actors today. It's like, what is the difference here? Paul Rudd, are you a vampire? You don't age at all. I think a lot of the big reason for those actors, like, why were the baby boomer generation actors look so much older in the 80s versus a 30-year-old today looks like a kid? They don't use sunscreen, and they smoked a lot back then, and that really ages you. Smoking, sunscreen, and just more generational trauma. Like, a lot of these people were World War II vets even. That stuff doesn't go away. Number six, reading a book. This article says here, a woman wrote an article saying, I spoke with 33 professors at the top universities. They told me the same story, that students are overwhelmed at the thought of reading a book for their class. So I think for a lot of young people, they're more used to short form content as Gen Z, TikTok. Not even watching long videos, just TikTok scrolling. You lose the ability to sit down with a book and read it. Now, I wish I could sit down with a book. Oh, man. But with little kids at this time of life, I got to do Audible. I love having Audible, but I'm really excited for the day when I retire, or at least the kids are older and I can shift more into the, and I read books all the time at work too. And I can actually sit down and read them at my desk, but just being able to sit down and just read a good book, something so cozy to settle into, Gen Z has a hard time with that because they are more raised on short form content. And finally, Gen Z hates when people don't care about mental health. This is something to circle back what I said earlier. Only 45% of Gen Z believe their mental health was very good. And they don't like when people downplay that. Now, on the one hand, I agree with that. There's a lot of generations will say, you'll be fine. And it's like, actually, there's a lot of trauma from certain things and it's hard to get over. Like, some baby boomers are like, it'll be fine. I was okay. Like, are you okay, though? Maybe the nightmares and crying at night is rooted in some deep-seated trauma. So on the one hand, yeah, acting like it's not a big deal, sure. But treating everything like it's a mental illness is itself a mental illness. And that's something that is, I would say, is problematic. So seven things Gen Z hates. Hey, if you were a Gen Z listener and you disagree with me, leave a comment for us at our premium community at trendhornpodcast.com. Maybe I will have one of my Gen Z cohorts, coworkers, come on, and we could do a follow-up talking about this, because I want to be fair. But I think in general, just because there are certain tropes or stereotypes related to generations doesn't mean it's not true. There's stuff about millennials. Maybe I'll follow up with the things millennials hate. You know, we'll see about that. Thank you, guys. Hope you have a blessed weekend.